We'll be in the Gospel of John this morning, so if you'll turn in your Bibles there with me and stand, we'll read our text, John 21. John chapter 21. Let's begin in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieving because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Maybe this morning you got here and you saw that bulletin, and the guy looked upside down. Even Myla earlier, before Sunday school, was walking up on the platform and commented about the guy upside down, just laughed at it. That's wrong. That guy's upside down. But maybe you read the title and you thought, boy, I sure am blessed by that. Never too low to look up. Boy, we have low times, don't we? And Peter was having a pretty low time. You know what Jesus wanted him to know? No matter how low you are, you're never too low to look up. So let's keep that in mind. We'll have a time in the Word this morning. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you that you work in us and your Word touches us. We need that this morning, and so we pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Times that are low are hard, aren't they? Be a real drag on your emotions when you're having a really low time or you're facing low times. Last Thursday, we went to the zoo to celebrate the boy's birthday, and Andrew had birthday on Thursday, and Grant had birthday on Friday, so we didn't celebrate. We celebrated the birthdays individually, but together we all went as a family to the zoo. And it's funny, when you go to the zoo, sometimes you'll see animals and they're behind those bars and you're thinking, man, that's a miserable way to live, And they look miserable sometimes. They just look sad. Their countenance is down. We went to the gorilla section and there was, it was beautiful. They had remodeled the whole thing, but there was no animals. Like, we were just seeing the beautiful, scenery of where the animals would normally be, but they weren't in there. So we went through the whole thing and finally we saw one. And he was slouched down. It was a big gorilla, man. He was right by the glass, slouched down, really just sort of out of it. And he's licking the ground. Looked like he was licking something off the ground. And I thought, buddy, I feel your pain. I think I've been there before. We've all been there before, right? I mean, it's just a low time. Like, I'm not sure what anything. I could tell you more to that story. Ask me after church, because some other things happened. I won't give you details, because I want you to be able to focus on the rest of the message. But he was having a tough time, okay? He was having a rough day. Well, we can relate to that because we have rough times too. We go through hard things. And Peter is in a low time. And so Jesus comes to Peter in this time asking him these questions because he wanted Peter to know, I understand, I see you, I see where you are. And by implication, Jesus is saying, I'm not done with you. I have something amazing for you. I have a responsibility for you, a job for you. I have something that you can look forward to. I have something that I'm looking forward to in you. Jesus comes to Peter with that. Peter was low. He was low. Why? He had denied Jesus. He had denied Jesus three times. Let me read them to you. Go to chapter 18. We'll come right back here to 21, but look at 18. It's just a few pages, so look at verse 17. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, this is 18 verse 17, saith the damsel that keepeth the door unto Peter, art thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. So Peter publicly denies Jesus, verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Jesus is denied for the second time publicly by Peter. Verse 27, Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So Jesus came to Peter. Go back to chapter 21. Jesus came to Peter and he asked him, three times, do you love me? Did Jesus know if Peter loved him? Yes, Peter acknowledged that in our passage. Then why did Jesus ask him three times? Because Jesus wanted Peter to know something. I know that you love me. And I know that you denied me three times. But I'm not done with you. I have a job for you. You're low, but you can look up. You're in a hard time right now, but you can see that I, through this, have a plan for you. One writer said this, God had big plans for Peter. You Bible students, you know the big plans that were ahead. Peter didn't know. He was low. The writer continues, but whatever potential for future service he had was not only dependent on forgiveness from Jesus, but also on his reinstatement among the disciples. And can I further add his reinstatement of his own discouragement? Jesus called into Peter three times because he had fallen so low. Look at verse number 15 again. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He later says in verse 16, feed my sheep. He says again, feed my sheep. Now, I want you to note, Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me more than these? What are the these? There's debate about what the these were. But to me, it seems obvious when you just look at the context, Peter denying Jesus, Peter deciding he's going to go back to his old life, his old ways. He can't do this anymore. So he goes back fishing and he has the boat and he has the fish and he has the nets and he has all the gear. And Jesus pointing to the boat, pointing to the fish, pointing to the nets that are on hand and saying, Peter, do you love me more than you love these? In other words, do you love me more than what you've decided for yourself? Do you love me? Do you love my path? Do you love the direction that I'm going to have for you? Or do you love the path that you've chosen for yourself? Peter says, I love you. That phrase, Simon, son of Jonas, was not the name that Jesus commonly referred to Peter as. But it was what Jesus referred to Peter as when he first called him, which is interesting. Parallel, I was studying this and that was pointed out. I thought it was pretty interesting. So in other words, whenever God visited Peter the very first time, he said, Simon, son of Jonas. In other words, Peter, never having met Jesus, perhaps wondered, how do you know my dad's name? How do you know my family? And by implication, Jesus knows all about Peter. Can I say Jesus knows all about you? He knows what you're going through right now. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're coming out of. By the way, he knows what you're going into in the days to come. So he knows all about us. He still has plans for you. He still has a job for you. He still has a responsibility for you. Is this something isolated only to Peter? No way. God had a job for Peter, but God has a job for all of us. He has a plan for us. He has a desire to lead us in a direction, to use us, but we have things that are in our mind that hinder us, but the call is there nonetheless. The call is there. And it could be that some of you have been called before, and now you've gotten low, and you're low. You're so low. God wants you to remember that the call that was at the beginning is the same call that's today. And what He was calling you to do in those days, follow me, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, and I'll make you fishers of men. Do you love me more than these? My call is still the same. You're a fisher of men. Drop these nets again and follow me. The call is still there, and the call is still in your life. You say, but Pastor, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've fallen so low, and I've gotten so far away. His call is without repentance. His touch is still there. He still has big plans for you. Your role might change some, depending on what you've went through, and your role might tweak a little bit, but that doesn't negate the call of God and the plan of God for your life. And Peter is being called and touched by God here, and encouraged that he'd fallen so low. I read a story of a teenager who was looking at his cell phone, and he was hanging off the side of a lookout on this river, and the river was just below. And while he was messing with his phone, he dropped it in the river, and without thinking, he jumped into the river after his phone, and he drowned. Sometimes we feel like that in the sense that we're drowning. So watch, sometimes you can be at church around people who love God, or at least because you're at church, it feels like maybe everybody should love God. That's why we're here, right? So, but you know what you're going through. You know your struggle. You know how low you are, and you're so low, and you're so down, you're wondering if anybody can understand what you're going through that's in here. And so you're drowning, but you're around a lot of people, it feels to you, who are doing great. And it reminds me of this story, other story I read, a report that happened in the 1980s. It was a report about this lifeguard, section. I don't remember what they were called, but it was this lifeguard division, and they had no drownings for the year. They had no, emergencies for the year. And so they were celebrating, and they had this party, and there was a pool, and there was all these people there. And by the time they cleared everybody out, there was a body in the pool of a person fully clothed who had drowned to death, surrounded by lifeguards. And sometimes I think that's how we feel. We're in church. We feel like we're surrounded by people who love the Lord, but we're drowning because we're low. That's Peter. He's down. He's battling and he's struggling. Sometimes we fall so low that it feels impossible to get up. Can I say that we live in a society of people who are being taught that really the only thing that matters is that you feel good about yourself? Can we say amen to that? Amen. Let me say it again. We live in a society that pushes the narrative that really what matters most for you in your life is that you feel good about yourself. Now, it reminds me of something that happened the other day. Ethan was talking to Grandma and to his, brothers, and we could all hear because we were all riding together back home from the zoo. And he said, I have an idea. This is Ethan announcing his idea. We're going to take turns riding with Grandma, and I'm going to go first. That was his idea. I think that's the way life is. We have grand ideas, and we lay out our plans, and usually it's me first. Is that always the case? No, but it's certainly pushed by a society that we live in. Can we say that for sure? Absolutely. Melissa said this to me the other day. I guess I didn't notice it because I confess I'm not the most observant person in the whole world. But on the shampoo bottle, there's this statement. On the shampoo bottle, by the way, it's such a weird place to say this, but it says, question everything but yourself. Question, so it's like a political or a social statement on a shampoo bottle. But anyway, so she turned the shampoo bottle around like, well, we're not going to do that. Listen, question everything but yourself. Like, if there's a problem, obviously it's not your fault. So question everything else, not you. That's the society that we live in. But can I tell you that that's probably not a major problem that's happening in this room whenever you have somebody who's low? Here's what often happens and what bothers us. It's not that we come to church and we want to feel good about ourselves. Now, it happens sometimes, but I'm not saying at large that that's what's happening. Here's what I would argue. Here's what I think often happens with us. We don't come to church demanding to feel good about ourselves. We come to church hoping that we won't feel as cruddy about ourselves. Can I be encouraged? Because this is really low right now. Is it always the case? No, but sometimes we have those low times. And we come to church and we want to be encouraged. Yeah, but it's not that we're demanding to feel good about ourselves. We just don't want to feel so bad about ourselves. Yeah. And that might be how you feel this morning. Maybe. I remember when I was working with the youth group, I mentioned this in Sunday school in St. Joe, and while being a youth director, there was, you know, things that are not, actually it was pre being a youth director. I was there for 4 years just helping with the youth group. And I had trained to be a pastor. I wanted to be a youth pastor. I wanted to be in the ministry, but I was a helper and I hardly got to teach. I hardly got to preach any messages. I was just sort of there. And, you know, it's hard for me to explain the feeling that you have, the hopelessness that you have when you feel like you're called to do a particular ministry and you're not able to do it because you're not put in a position where you can. So I was just kind of on the sideline, and it's fine if it's, you know, I think if it's a certain amount of time and you know you're going to be moving into a position that you've trained and you've worked towards. But for me, I was hoping to be the youth pastor, and it was too going on 3 years, and I was a helper, and as the months went by, the less I was utilized in the ministry. I started wondering, like, what's the point of me even being here? Like, what am I doing? Finally, I was so frustrated and fed up about it, I called a meeting with the pastor, and I'm pretty upset about myself now, because, like, I have those times, and I'm, like, stressed, like, what do they want to meet and talk about? You know, I'm all nervous about it. I'm like, that's probably how the pastor felt whenever I scheduled that meeting. You know, and I was pretty upset. Like, what's going on? I mean, why can't I be used more? You know, but God smote my heart before I ever went into that meeting. He smote me. He said, listen, is this your ministry or is this my ministry? Are you where I want you to be or are you where you want to be? I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm where you want me to be and this is your ministry and I just need to follow you. So I went into the meeting. God had smote my heart. My attitude changed. And I said, listen, Pastor, I want to be used and I want to be involved, but here's where my heart is right now. I just, whatever you decide, whatever you think, that's what I want. And he said this, you know, I'm really thankful that that's your spirit. And he was nervous. And I regret that meeting altogether. It didn't need to happen at all. But that was after almost three, it was another year and a half of just sitting in the youth group. And I'm telling you, I had low times. Am I going to be in the ministry at all? Am I on the right path at all? All these questions were going through my mind in these low times. And so in ministry, in the direction that I was heading, I struggled. And I know that it's the case that sometimes as Christians we get low and we get to that place where we don't even want to try anymore. And we're parenting, for example, we're parenting our children and it's difficult and there's challenges there. And as a parent, we get discouraged. Or in our marriage, we get discouraged in our marriage and we don't want to deal with these issues anymore. Or in our ministry, we get discouraged and we don't want to minister or serve in that capacity anymore. And the list could go on. It could be our job. It could be a variety of things in our family. But the reality is we start saying things like this. I feel like there's no hope for me. We say, I'm so low. There is no point for me. If you knew my past, if you knew where I'm coming from, if you knew the mistakes that I've made and the struggles that I've been through, then you would know that these are things that I can't overcome. And we say these things to ourselves, and we get discouraged. We get low, and we feel like there's no hope. And that's when Jesus stepped in. That's when Jesus came to Peter and said, you feel low. You feel like there's no hope. But I'm here to tell you to deal with each and every one of your issues, to declare to you that not only there is hope, but I have a plan for you. Peter had fallen. He denied the Lord 3 times. And so Jesus came to Peter 3 times and said, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Lovest thou me? I love you. Feed my sheep. Serve in the ministry. Fulfill the role that I've called you to be. Take on the ministry. Take on the path that I have for you. Because you're never too low to look up. Verse 17, the last part of the verse, he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, finally, feed my sheep. He wanted Peter to know that he's restored. Can I tell you this morning that you're never too low? You're never too low so that you can't look up. No matter how far you've fallen, no matter how low you've gotten, Jesus this morning wants you to know that He can use you. He wants to use you. He wants to work in you and through you. So what do? You look up. I would say that that's probably one thing so often we're not good at, though. You know, I said earlier that I'm not the most observant person. My kids aren't either, and I think they get that from me. Come up with them. So Andrew's birthday was on Thursday, and I said to him on Wednesday, I said, you want to go to breakfast on Thursday? And he's like, Dad, can we go get a donut? I'm like, we can do whatever you want. So I said, but you have to get up early because we're going to the zoo that day. So he got up early, and he came down, and we went and got a donut, and it was great. He's just a plain donut. I don't want anything on it. But the night before, Melissa had went to the kitchen and decorated the kitchen. She put all these streamers down. You know how you moms are. Streamers and this banner across the thing. And she had presents loaded on the table. I mean, it was birthday party ready to go. And so when we got back from getting the donut, Melissa was up and she said, Andrew, did you see your presents in the streamers? And Andrew's like, he walked right by it. I didn't see it, Mom. You didn't see any of the presents, the streamers, the banner? You didn't see any of that? You know, so he had to go back up and see it. Why didn't he see it? Because he didn't look up. He wouldn't look up. Listen, God wants to use you. He has a plan for you. Even when you're low. And often we miss it because we won't let ourselves look up. We won't let ourselves look to the Lord. We won't let ourselves acknowledge that He can work in us and through us. I want to encourage you this morning with the truth that God can work in you and He can work through you. And you're never too low. You're never too low to look up and see that God can work in you and through you. I want that for us as a church. I want that in my own life too. And so I'm hopeful that the Lord will work in you and He'll help you to acknowledge this in your life. We need this, don't we? We need it like Peter needed it. Why? Because there's big plan. There's big things God has for us. There's big things that He wants to do in us and through us. We have to be willing to look to Him. This morning, if God's worked in your heart, let me encourage you to come and do business with God. Father, we acknowledge this morning our great need of You, that there is a tendency in us to struggle with acknowledging You and looking to You in our low times and letting You encourage us and letting You restore us. And so this morning I pray that You would help us to see the promise here and to be willing to turn our hearts to You in faith, to look up, to look to You for that encouragement and strength. Lord, I pray that You would guide us in this truth and help us to walk in faith. And if somebody here needs to do business with You, turn their heart to You, I pray You'd give them courage to take that step. And it's in Your precious name we pray.